Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
Yo, Instagram is wild, guys. Instagram is becoming a wild place.
Is it the great migration from TikTok, you think?
I don't even think it's that. I think it's the great migration from X, right? Like, it's just like...
Call it what it is.
I don't want to... Look, I don't want to put it's myself Twitter. Out there. Because, you know, the algorithm feeds you what you be looking for, but I'm like, some of these meme pages that turn into OnlyFans advertisement page, you follow a meme page on Instagram, right? And then in like 3 weeks, it turns into an OnlyFans
P-U-S-S-Y-I-N-B-I-O.
An OnlyFans advertisement page, and like, the shit that they get away with posting in these reels on Instagram, nigga, it'll have you afraid to open up your phone around the wrong people. That's all I'm saying. Like, don't get caught looking at Instagram baddies in at the bus stop. Cause,
hey Doc,
that shit is crazy. Hey Zig,
I don't feel like wasting time, and the levels of hatred are rising up
and crashing through with another forced intro, cause you know. Forcing it is always great.
Ask Drake.
The hard part six definitely felt forced. this is Doc.
And Ziggy.
And if you didn't know, now you know, we are...
The Flood.
That's right, your favorite weekly pop culture digest, bringing the news happening around you, discussing how it shapes the culture that defines you with our
pop perspective. To put culture in context and make the mainstream make sense. Because if we don't make sense, we don't make dollars. Holla.
Shout out to the patrons.
Enrage Peacock and Advent Children.
Keeping the streaming alive. And if you want to help keep the stream alive, you can find us at The Flood Pod on everything. And that is on everything.
And this week's hit on the algorithm is...
Gotta be.
Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar.
It's gotta be. Did you think we was gonna say Family Matters? Definitely not.
Look, if y'all have been listening to us for the past month, definitely we're not even wasting time. We have been sitting here and marinating on it. Pause.
Major pause. Big pause.
We have been thinking about this beef for like a week and a half.
I mean, it is like, it
and
is
And I think we started recording at the perfect time.
It might even be bigger
it
than
seems,
like the war in Gaza right
it
now.
It seems
right?
done. We'll get to
Unlike
that.
Unlike the war in Gaza. It's not funny. But what is funny is how gossipy this got. I did not, personally, when this started out, I didn't have it going whole shade room culture. Right,
yeah, like, a friend of mine like told me to break it down for him, and I was like, all right, so like if this is a football game, like Drake is the head coach of a team who's complaining that the ref blew a pass interference call, and Kendrick called Drake a pedophile.
Flat out.
That's basically what happened.
I mean, look, Kendrick laid it out when Euphoria dropped, right? Because, you know, after push-ups, we were all waiting on the edge of our seats in suspense for Kendrick's response to Drake calling him short with little feet. Because, you know, that was Drake's response to motherfuck the big three. It's just
big
me. Nigga, you a bum. Oh yeah, well you short and you got little feet and I make hits and ooh, I got Tupac. And that, I think that's what really set Kendrick off. Kendrick was like,
no, I really think that the moment he did Tupac? AI Tupac, he was like, all right, fuck this guy. We're going at him.
First J. Cole at 2 Brute, like, yeah, no, J. Cole is the looking like a fucking sage right now.
Yeah,
bro.
Like he's. Like,
everybody on the internet is like, whoo, good job staying home and folding laundry.
Hey, I saw this one tweet. They were like, man, J. Cole's so glad he bowed out. Otherwise, Kendrick would have said that he doesn't fold laundry and he has a motor assist bike.
Bro, it just, this whole shit went way left real quick. I mean, like, you know, Drake came through with the whole Six God energy on Family Matters, right? The visuals for that shit were mad crazy and like, you could get into the association with alleged hitmen in that video, right? And Drake really trying to put on that Don Corleone persona.
So
right?
The thing is like the whole like worm, the worm or the mole in Drake camp. It would take a few hours to film that music video. It would take a few hours to film that music video.
And we really don't have to. I'm sure if you're listening to our podcast, then you probably have at least, you know, heard the salacious accusations that have been passed around throughout this beef. You know, Kendrick.
Certified love the boy, certified pedophile.
Kendrick beats his wife, allegedly. Even though, you know, his wife and. Or not wife, his fiance, because you know they're not married and they live on different sides of the country, allegedly. But they're in full support of each other and family falling all the way through. Fucking the West Coast falling all the way through for the man Kendrick, right? A home team hero. Even though a lot of industry professionals are trying to remain professional and not pick sides. It seems the culture has overwhelmingly picked a side.
Well, I mean, when you get the chance at a free Metro Boomin beat and $10,000.
I mean, what you gonna do, right?
All right, so let's go through. So January was Cat. Who was February? April was Metro.
Man, listen.
May is Kendrick. So who was February and March?
It just feels like at this point I can't even go there because I'm stuck. I'm really like stuck at how just brutally Kendrick dissected this nigga Drake's brand, right? Even
and you know what the best part to all of our listeners is? I'm gonna put the music underneath of this because Kendrick removed all of the copyright on his music. Those four tracks.
Even if the accusations are false, right, which Drake alleges, and there's not very much proof other than references Kendrick made himself on Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers towards the, spousal allegations, right? It feels like the attack on has really damaged Drake's credibility more than anything. So much so that there are now rumors being passed around by TMZ, who in the past has been a pretty reputable source.
Let's pause that for 1 second. I just want to say,
why?
Let's just appreciate the fact that Kendrick has turned his hate into legal racketeering for his fans.
That's not for nothing, right? Like, there are people online who are literally saying, like, their checks have, like, changed up big time because of their reaction videos to the Not Like Us drop. Like I said, so much... These Kendrick tracks are doing such big numbers that they are, like, sitting at the top of the charts on all the streaming platforms. It's only a matter of time, if not already by the time that this drops, that it's, you know, dominating the Billboard charts. And rumor has it is that Drake's Rich Baby Daddy, UMG, is not happy about it and has made some calls and sat down with the two sides and are like, yeah, we need to put this to an end because the pedophile allegations allegedly are doing some real damage to the brand deals that Drake has going on with Nike and a couple of other heavy hitters, right? So it's...
That is a rumor that has been apparently been debunked?
Academics is calling bullshit, right? But I'm gonna say it here. I'm gonna trust Harvey over DJ Academics. DJ Academics would like to think that he is the TMZ of hip hop, but
Harvey is actual TMZ
and is a lawyer, right? Like, I don't think Harvey would allow his team to put out something.
Let me put it to you this way. None of us would have known about Ray Rice if it wasn't for TMZ.
Right.
Literally, none of us would have known about it if it wasn't for TM fucking Z.
I mean, they broke a whole lot of other shit.
Too. Solange and Jay-Z? TMZ. That was like the same month, too.
Yeah, so, like I said.
Good month for elevators.
There is, there is good credibility to assume that the storm that was the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef is finally over. And unless you are really, like, really weighing the scale, like, leaning on the scales, it's Kendrick is the clear winner.
I feel like at this point, like, if Kendrick dropped another track, it would just be like, stop it. He's already dead. Like,
even if we go over and, like, if we stick to, like, strictly, like, bar structure, which I feel like some people, like...
Oh, Drake lost in Euphoria alone.
Which I feel like some people, like, you know, Cameron and Mace and Gilly, you know, those people who were calling it for Drake, right, and catching a lot of heat, may have been... looking at, you know, Kendrick has a rather abstract approach to constructing his bars. And I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, you have to have a PhD to be able to understand Kendrick. He's a poet laureate, fucking Pulitzer Prize winner. Yeah, like, no, it's not even just that heavy, right? Like, because when I first heard Euphoria, right, it took a minute, right, for it to really, like, find its way. With me, at first I was like, oh, this might not be it. Like, push-ups, you know.
Well, I mean, it goes on three different beats, and it starts slow.
Well, and Kendrick's bar structure is weird, bro. Like, Kendrick's bar structure is, like, experimental jazz, nigga. And it's like, you're really, like, you really gotta, like, sit down and settle into the way Euphoria plays out, right? But... that is to say that by the end of that record, you are emotionally gripped, and it is a scathing, like, a warning shot, right? Like,
and we said that too, like, yeah. In our chat, we were like, I mean, Euphoria to me is the most impressive song of the four that Kendrick dropped.
Right, it is technically impressive, right? And I do feel like Kendrick is also... and even
that song feels the most like a Kendrick album song to me.
Yeah, and that's to my point. It best displays why Kendrick is an acquired taste, pause, for a lot of people. Kendrick does come off intimidating in that way, in the way that people who are used to... listening to more melodic rap might be a bit jarred when they hear Kendrick start to rap, especially in, like, all the voices that he uses and, you know, tones and the way he approaches his cadences and stuff like that, especially as a Drake fan, right? Like, if you were a Drake fan jumping to listen to the Kendrick Lamar response, right? Yeah, I know how Drake fans are gonna be like, oh no, this shit is trash. Right? Because, like, Drake fans want to hear that melodic shit. They want to hear that clever shit, that witty shit, right? And which is why push-ups won them over so easily, because it was kind of made for, like, meme culture shit, right? Like, the making fun of Kendrick's height and his shoe size and stuff like that, and the drop and give me 50. You know, that's what Drake does. He is that catchy, croony, like, song. I almost called this nigga song shit just now. But then that all changed when fucking Kendrick dropped Not Like Us, because, like we said, out of the four
Kendrick songs. So
four Kendrick songs. Not Like Us is the one that has everybody in a fucking chokehold, bro. Like,
did I start a chord? It's probably a minor.
Meet the Grams, like, took the fucking, like, wind out of everybody's sails. Like, it really had, like, everybody aghast.
Like, Family Matters you went hard. Like, that was a real song.
Yes. No, and that's it, right? Like, but it just got completely overshadowed by "You Lied."
The RDC World skit, like, had it perfect.
Dear Adonis. I'm sorry that man is your father. God. Jesus. Bro, that's like, that hits like the fucking scene in fucking Menace to Society where the fucking Asian lady, was it Menace to Society? With Menace to Society where the fucking Asian lady or Asian dude is like, the Korean liquor store owner is like, "I feel sorry for your mother," right? Kendrick.
All right.
And Adonis like, "Hey, yo."
So let's go through this timeline, right?
A fucking weirdo.
Let's go through this timeline real quick. So it started with Future and Metro featuring Kendrick on "Like That."
Freaky ass nigga. He's a 69 guy. Bro, Kendrick fucking lost. Like, that was like a victory lap, nigga. Like, this nigga really was like, "Hey, yo, you're cooked. You're cooked. You're done. Euphoria was me heating up the oven." Fucking "Like That" was me pulling out, like, the ingredients to, like, prep. That was me prepping, right? Like, I was ready. Like, Euphoria was me heating up the oven. I was like, "Yo, do you want this? Do you want to get flambéed right now? Because I'm really about to, like, light this gas stove and it's all the way lit," right? And no, and then "Meet the Grams" or 616 in LA, right? And then, like, that's how crazy, or how crazy this run has been. Because, like, 616 in LA was really Kendrick going, "It's all the way lit. And if you want to jump off that bridge." The crazy thing is that's,
like, the one that's, like, the least memorable of the four.
Yeah.
So here's the timeline. It starts with "Like That" by Future Metro featuring Kendrick. First shots fired. Then we got "Push Up," Drake's response. The TaylorMade freestyle. At some point in between there, Drake bowed or at some point in between, J. Cole bowed out like a smart man.
Yeah, we're not even counting 7-minute drill, right?
Yeah. After TaylorMade freestyle, Euphoria, to which Drake responded with an Instagram story of the clip from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Hey, yo, but he wouldn't have done that to DMX, though. I just want to point that out.
Followed up by 616 in LA. Drake then drops "Family Matters" the next night. 27 minutes later, Kendrick drops "Meet the Grams."
It really was like fucking 27. I finished listening to the song. I looked over in the corner and the thumbnail said 12 minutes ago. Right? And I was like, "Hey, yo, what is this?" And then fucking... dun, 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 dun.
The next night, dear Kendrick Dennis, drops "I'm Not Like Us."
Man is your father. "They not like us. They not like us." Say, Drake.
2 days after that, like, or maybe 3 days after that, then Drake releases "The Heart Part 6 that is basically just going, "Nuh-uh, and I'm not a pedophile.
And I made all that shit up, so you would tell everybody that about me." Yeah.
Pulitzer Prize winner, my ass.
That's what's happening. I made you tell everybody I was a pedophile. So don't you look
Ed had
stupid.
A secret 11-year-old daughter.
Don't you look dumb. Ha ha. Ha. And I even paid that girl that I pulled up on stage to tell everybody it's cool. She's not traumatized by me sexualizing her before she was legal at all.
Metro Boomin pops out of the corner. "Yo, dog, this is why nobody fucking likes you." This is why nobody fucking likes you.
That's literally, like, pretty much what Kendrick was saying the entire time. Like, throughout all four
He's
of
like, look,
tracks.
You could have even tricked me, but my point is still proven. Kendrick, I'm either embarrassing you or proving myself right.
Kendrick literally was like, "This is why nobody likes you. Because you're weird, you're manipulative, and you seem uncomfortable everywhere you go, like you're lying to everybody and yourself.
And you're a pedophile."
And Drake was like, nah, and that's why I lied. Like, get the fuck out of here. And you're forgetting Control, right? Like, this really
well,
all started.
Well, we really want to go back to Control from 2012.
And Kendrick just proved that he really is in control of the culture. It's bananas. That was a bananas 3 fucking days, right?
It really is like a capstone moment in hip hop. It really is.
And now Drake's house is getting shot up. But I, once again, I don't know if we said this on mic, but I'm almost certain that has nothing to do with Kendrick Lamar. And rumor has it, allegedly, it has more to do with The Weeknd. Apparently, Abel and his team really bout that.
Let's just say one of my favorite, and I'm sure it has to be one of Kendrick's favorite things too.
The rumor on the timeline is that Drake's people popped off at The Weeknd and his folks a couple of weeks ago after The Weeknd made his snide little comments and shady little remarks, and his bodyguard got hit, and they apparently, you know, retaliated this week, which resulted in one of Drake's bodyguards getting hit.
Was this before or after Drake rented out a Dave and Buster's?
I saw that post too, right? And okay, all right, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, 666, and say I don't see anything wrong with this nigga renting out a Dave and Buster's. It's not a good look, considering the
he's done it multiple times.
Okay, and who? All right. So you're telling me that as a single man, if you had the opportunity to, and you had the funds to trick on a bitch, and you wouldn't rent out a whole ass Dave and Buster's if
fuck
you knew
no.
Shorty was
half
out
of the
it?
Fun of Dave and Buster's is the drunk strangers.
No, you're cap. That's cap, bro. That's cap. I'm calling cap. You're telling me you wouldn't rent out a whole ass arcade to flex and show? Come on.
Two people in an arcade? That sounds fun.
You're on a date.
It sounds super lively, having an empty fucking arcade.
You're full of cap right now. I'm calling cap.
You know how lifeless and cold an empty arcade actually is?
That's not even the point. We're talking about the flex. And the arcade wasn't empty. Because if you saw the post, Drake was DJing and people were walking in and out of that bitch, right? Like, so I guess it was associates and all that. So, yeah, you're telling me that if you could rent a Dave and Buster's out to throw a party for a fucking date, you wouldn't do it?
Nah, but I'd ball out on that
you're
date.
You're a fucking...
I would ball out on that date, though.
You're
I would ball the fuck out
you're
on that date.
You're drunk on that haterade. You're drunk on that hatery, bro. Get out of here. You're lying to me. First and foremost, it is literally just this nigga renting out an arcade.
Well, I do want to say, like, the cool thing I think about Kendrick and all of his songs is Euphoria was, like, a whole bunch of different styles. 616 felt like a classic boom-bap West Coast song. Meet the Grams felt like a Griselda track.
You lied!
And Not Like Us? That shit's a banger. It's just crazy. We were roasting J. Cole, and now he seems like a fucking genius.
Allegedly, the rumor is, because, you know, this is the battle of rumors. Schoolboy Q was the one that gave J. Cole the heads up and was like, yeah, nah, stay out of this joint because you're not gonna want to be associated with this nigga after this. Yeah, it really is looking like J. Cole was like the T'Challa of this battle, right? And it was like, he was like, oh, I'm on the wrong side. Okay.
He's like, look, my bad, I'm gonna just back away, pull a Homer, and just drift into the bush.
I'm gonna take that Nazi gold, and I'm just gonna go back down to North Carolina.
By bicycle.
This nigga really is like this generation's Common. It's great. Yeah, no, this beef was epic. Like I said in the beginning, I wish it wouldn't have gotten as gossipy as it did and stayed more bar heavy. I really expected that from these two artists, but that doesn't change the fact that I think, you know, we got some really good music out of it, which at the end of the day, despite what Vince Staples and Corruptible tell you, this rap beef is really about. I hope it doesn't go any further, even though it seems like it's escalating, even though this part of it may be done, right?
I feel like Kendrick is going back into his cave.
Do you feel like Drake can recover from this? Do you feel like Drake's brand can recover from this?
Before we go to that, you know how everybody was saying Kendrick is like Thanos? I was thinking about this. Kendrick is like the dragon Smaug from The Hobbit. Yeah, sitting in his mountain, hoarding tracks of hatred, ready to go, until someone comes in.
Yo, Kendrick really channeled fucking Stink Meaner on fucking Euphoria at 616. And on all of that shit,
I hate
bro.
The way you look, I hate the way you walk, I hate the way you dress.
Like, honestly, it was mad hate.
I even hate the way you say...
I feel like...
But that's just me, I guess. Not everything has to be deep. When he said that, I was like... Yo.
Yeah. Kendrick was like on some fucking Deadpool shit.
For like the past 2 weeks, I've gone up on stage and I've been like, you know, it's really hard to do stand up right now when Kendrick Lamar is the funniest motherfucker on the planet.
Cool.
And I'll just literally read a line from Euphoria. Typically, you see yourself standing next to Sexy Red and think you see two bad bitches. And the whole room just erupts.
Bro.
I don't even have to make my own joke.
Every time I read a comment online where they're defending Drake and they're trying to make it seem like, you know, he's still on top of everything, I just see the Adrian Broner meme playing in the back of my head, right? Like, I'm getting cooked right now. Yo, like... Yeah, Drake is getting cooked right now. Bro.
I have this meme saved on my phone. It's Spike from Cowboy Bebop, and he's just like, "Why would you post that? You didn't need to post that."
Drake gotta take some time off for a little while. He gotta, he gotta pull R. Kelly and just go away for a bit.
All right, so we need to bring in the side character, Metro Boomin. BBL. BBL Drizzy.
$10,000 cash prize is crazy. I wonder if
and actually, a beat.
I wonder if he'll actually give it out.
I'm sure he will. You know how many fucking people he has ripping on Drake over a fire beat?
It is crazy.
It's, like, the disco vocals go so hard.
I didn't know the culture hated Drake that much. Right?
The one you sent me where the guy is rapping as Drake's plastic surgeon.
Yeah, yo. It's awful. I don't think Drake deserves this much hate unless he really is like that scummy behind the scenes. Like, cause once again, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, Drake's the type of dude people... that would like flop on like a meager foul. And then Kendrick would call him a pedophile.
I still haven't forgiven Drake for what he did to Drum. Hotline Bling and I Like to Cha-Cha are almost the exact same song. It was then I really feel like the veil was lifted from my eyes. And like how they had portrayed Drake as this guy who was, you know, using his influence to put other artists on in the industry, right? Like, and that's what he says. Like, I took Kendrick and ASAP Rocky on their first big tours and stuff like that. I've used my notoriety and my fame to give artists, shine that I feel like deserve it. And what lots of them, The Weeknd, Tory Lanez, like, what lots of them are alleging is that, you know, Drake is the Shang Tsung of fucking hip hop. Bro, and he shows up and he takes your flow and your style and he makes it a big thing and he cashes out on it. And if you're lucky enough to catch his favor, then according to Lil Yachty, he might, you know, pick up the tab when y'all go out to eat.
I saw two amazing tweets. Actually, one of them was a thread. The thread was like, man, after this, I hope Drake doesn't give features out to anyone. and a lot of the most of the responses were like, how do you think Drake has lasted this long?
Literally. So when he brings up the fact that he's got more hits than Michael, right? And I can't remember who it was that said, oh, I think it was Murs, that said that this shit needs to go like original battle style and do like a sound clash kind of thing where it's like, you know, Drake performs a set, Kendrick performs a set, and we see who set, like, you know, old head corny.
Like COVID style.
And initially, it would feel like you would think Drake would smash that, right? Like, all the way through. But I'm like, but if you take away Drake's features, what's left?
Timbaland has to get on the phone and get these two to do a verse.
I'm just saying, like, if you look at Drake's hit catalog, how many of them are features? How many of them are actually,
like,
his
all
songs?
Of them. Like, how, all of them.
And I mean, yeah, a fair amount of them are, you know, probably his songs, right? But it is like, Drake is a good feature artist, right? Like, he's...
In all of the songs that I like with Drake, with the exception of a few songs off of Views, all of them are features, and a lot of them, Drake's not even rapping first.
I like the Drake that's saying. I don't like gangsta Drake.
Yo, not believable.
A lot of people like the appeal, right? And he was giving off mad Don Corleone energy.
G Baby,
right?
Is more gangster than
not
Drake.
Not Don Corleone, but
you know what? Keanu Reeves is more gangster than Drake.
Wow, wow. You sound like you've been sipping on that haterade. It's like I don't hate Drake, right? But he does have mad Michael Corleone energy, right? Like, he's got mad Michael Corleone energy where, you know, he has the squeaky clean appeal, like, and that's kind of what Kendrick was hinting to, was like, you know, you came in here with, like, your first mixtape was like Boy Meets World, right? Like, you were the good kid from the good city, right? Like, let's not, now you want to be like the fucking Godfather. What's up with that? Where did that come from? Like, you talking about you gonna get people hit, like, you acting, you making these, now you got this huge $500 million deal with UMG, and you feel like you a big dog on the
set.
Well,
I mean, the other path for a backpack rapper to massive fame would be becoming a Nazi, so.
Or Flat Earther, or Lupe Fiasco.
Yeah, I was about to say, or teaching at MIT. Not a bad gig.
I feel bad for anybody in rap who was trying to drop an album just now, right? Because it's going to be like, your shit probably just got shelved for like the next month, right? Like, Chance the Rapper was trying to make his big debut, and it just seems like awful timing.
Kendrick released a fucking EP.
Yeah, they
essentially
both,
an EP.
They both released little EPs, right? Like, over this whole ass beef. And over the span of, like, a week, right?
Yes.
I guess not over a week, but over a month, right?
But, I mean, if you line all four of Kendrick's tracks up, five, if you want to include like that.
Yeah, Kendrick
just
came,
bangers.
Yeah.
Just banger after banger.
And, like we're saying, like, completely impartial here, Family Matters...
This Family Matters was a good fucking song.
Was fire, right? Like,
it was a good fucking song.
Yeah.
It just got immediately followed up by Meet the Grams.
If Family Matters had been to ASAP Rocky, then I'd have been like, ooh, ASAP Rocky might be cooked. But then, yeah, Kendrick immediately dropped Meet the Grams, and it was just like, oh, well, that was...
The RDC World video really does cover it.
And
they're just like, the guy comes in and he's just like, Kendrick, Drake dropped, didn't he?
Yeah.
What was he talking about? He was talking my family. I'm uploading now.
There was no break.
Time for some sports updates.
Welcome back. And welcome to
Sports with Ziggy featuring Doc.
Casual, mad casual here. And anybody who is a repeat listener will know that.
Score one for big, tall, lanky white men everywhere. Nikola Jokic has won his third most valuable player award for the NBA. Joining these players who have won three or more MVPs: Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James. That's it.
Really?
Those are all of the players who have won three or more MVPs, including Jokic.
Yeah, no, that is actually a surprisingly short list. You would have thought...
The only name I'm thinking you might not have known would be Moses Malone.
Yeah, that one. Although I'm not surprised the nigga named Moses came through and did some miraculous shit.
Historically does.
I, however, did not recognize that name off bat.
Every other name you should have known.
What era did Moses Malone play?
80s.
That's what I...
He actually played with Barkley on the Sixers.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, look, shout out to Jokic, though. He really has been, like, kind of like a standout player for a good two seasons.
Well, now, at least three, yeah, considering he's won three MVPs.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. I feel like that first one, though...
The funny thing is, the year he didn't win the MVP, he won the championship.
How ironic, right? So, like I said, an unknown rookie of his time, right, who was getting some spotlight, but now is really, like, commanding...
He's so fun to watch. Like, he is. Like, the way... Like, I don't want to watch him score. I want to watch him pass the ball. He's such a good passer. It's insane.
Yeah, always ready with the assist. He does seem like he is able to kind of analyze the court in a way that he finds the best strategical positions to put himself in. And this is coming from a casual.
And
right?
On the LeBron James, JJ Redick podcast, Mind the Game, they actually have talked about Jokic quite a bit, and how he is so good at reading the court.
Yeah, so see, like, even as casual, I was able to recognize that. His play style is very... I don't even want to say... It's not even, like, similar to Bird. He's a good argument for taking Euroball more serious.
He is the best possible version of what people imagine a white basketball player is.
Like I said, he is a good argument for taking Euroball more seriously. They are not just fucking around in Europe anymore. It's not like it was in the early 2000s.
Like, there's, like I said last time, is a reason that the U.S. is sending that squad.
Yeah.
It's because at this point, they have to.
Yeah, no, and
the U.S. is expected to win the gold in basketball. But now, Slovenia has Luka. Serbia has Jokic. Greece has Giannis.
Yeah.
Thank God Embiid got naturalized, because otherwise Cameroon would have him.
So, the U.S., as it's looking on all other fronts...
Oh, and Shea Gilchrist-Alexander, Canada...
As it's looking on all other fronts, the U.S., you know, is having to defend its title pretty heavily here in the...
Jamal Murray, also Canadian.
Damn. Listen.
The Olympics are real at this point.
Shout out to Toronto. Crony and him. Man.
Do you want to know another reason why Kendrick named it 616? The age of consent.
Lots of people are saying that that is when the new album is supposed to drop as well. And
dude, chapter 616 in Bleach is the one where Aizen comes out and he's like, I want all the smoke. Like, people really look that up.
Do you think Kendrick is a Bleach fan?
I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, cartoons and cereal.
Yeah.
It would be wild if it was that multi-layered. Like, it would be like Kendrick has been playing 5D chess this entire time, and Drake is like, I'm the master manipulator, and Kendrick is like, domain expansion.
Domain expansion. Good kid, Mad City.
You lied.
You can just hear, like, I can imagine it now. Like, Drake, all of a sudden, all of these, like, shadow mouths around him just start chanting, you lie, you lie, you lie.
Welcome to Section 8.
O-V-ho! Oh!
Bro.
Did I hit a chord? A chord? A chord? It's probably a minor!
Yo, bitch. Speaking of sports, they're even playing Not Like Us in fucking NBA commercial breaks.
Inside the NBA, when they came in and Euphoria was playing, and Kenny and Shaq were just like, y'all get us tied up in this.
Drake has got to be sick, because you know he's a sports groupie. You know he's an NBA groupie.
Ernie, as like clued as he is, I don't think Ernie at that moment knew what was going on.
Yo, I feel like LeBron is trying his hardest not to get caught listening to Not Like Us.
LeBron is so fucking happy this beef is going on because it takes all the smoke off of the Lakers losing.
Yeah.
Also, Trump is really happy with this beef.
I mean,
or actually, he's probably really mad about this beef.
Trump probably ain't.
He's probably happy about it today, though.
I was gonna say, because right now Stormy Daniels is in there cooking this nigga. She's in there doing her own version of fucking Meet the Grams. You lied. You lied about your dick. You lied about them payments.
She said, like, at one point, she was like, I was staring at the ceiling wondering how the fuck I got here. Like, and like, they. She said it was like, it was for a very short amount of time.
You lied about Michael Cohen and didn't come in to save him. God damn, bro. Yeah, no.
Melania hates him so much.
And this nigga might actually end up in jail for 30 days. You really think that judge is gonna throw him in jail? Because he's like hit his like fifth contempt.
His tenth.
His tenth.
They fined him for $1,000 each time. Yeah. Oh, 10 times.
Nice. Yeah. And he's like, fuck it. My constituents will pay it. Come on, y'all. Buy some more shoes.
It'll be great for him until he realizes he doesn't get a phone.
I mean, listen. You know who else they threw in jail right before he became the leader of the country?
Jeffrey Epstein?
Hitler. How can you get any worse than Jeffrey Epstein?
I don't know. Ask Drake.
I see you're Jeffrey Epstein, and I raise you with Hitler. Bro.
I'll call with an Aubrey.
Bro. Trump is really in there, like, he's cussing and shit. He's so...
The judge even had to, like, tell him, like, get your client under control. This is witness intimidation.
Yeah,
like,
yo. It's so wild. And I can't decide if he's emboldened and he's really pulling the whole, like, they're trying to witch hunt me thing, or if he's, like, really feeling...
Killing the beloved!
Do you think he's feeling the heat at all?
I mean, it's easy. When it's warm, it's easy to take a nap.
Yeah, at first, right, he was all Ryan Garcia with this shit. He was coming in, he was falling asleep. He's like, I got better things to do, bitch. I'm about to run the country. I'm gonna pardon myself. But now, it really feels like, you know, he is more like Drake in this situation where he's kind of like sweating it out and he about to get on the stands and do the Heart Part 6 and be like, listen, Stormy Daniels is a prostitute. Of course, she's going to love the fucking, the limelight. She's just as bad as Michael Cohen and the media. They really hate me. But honestly, at the end of the day, I think we need to put this behind us because it's making the country look bad.
Have you heard what Michael Cohen's nickname for Trump is? Donald Von Schitz's Pants.
I thought you were going to say Dr. Eggman.
Donald Von Schitz's pants.
For anybody who remembers what Stormy Daniels said his dick looks like.
It looks like Toad.
That Dr. Eggman joke. Oh no, that's what they said about Epstein. That his paws, right? Like.
Paws Patrol.
Speaking of Disney, did you hear? There's a little bit of so it turns out that the most streamed, or I guess the show with the most watch time on Disney Plus, is not any Marvel property. It's not any Star Wars property. It's not any Disney classic property. You want to know what it is? You want to take a guess?
Paw Patrol.
It's Paw Patrol was on Paramount Plus.
Okay, I got. Then
that's
I had no idea.
You fucked up. It's Bluey. Bluey has the most watch hours out of any show on Disney Plus, and like I said, including or movie, including you know the Disney classics, which
including X-Men 97.
Including X-Men 97. Bluey is watching them all, which I find super funny because upon its return, they had a special episode where one of the characters explains to one of the children why they can't get pregnant. Or not necessarily explains to the child why they can't get pregnant, but like, you know, just explains why they don't have any children yet, right? And Disney is refusing to air the episode on Disney Plus. So the Bluey cast and production company has decided to put the episode up on YouTube for everybody to see. And I'm bringing the show I'm bringing this up because Bluey is like literally the fucking most adorable show, children's show that there is like out right now. Right, like, and you know, I have kids, so I get stuck watching this shit. And I cannot tell you.
You have a 2-year-old.
How many times fucking Bluey has gotten me in my. I saw the memes, right, and I didn't get it at first. You know, I'm watching all the memes, like the parenting memes about like parents getting stuck watching Bluey and then like having real, like, choked up moments. But that show has gotten me choked up more times than like I care to admit, right? Like Andrew Tate would like literally just go ahead and like, you know, check me off of the list. Like, no, nope, there's no way.
You have 2 kids, you're still gay.
Choked up at a fucking children's cartoon. Get out of here, bro. No.
Still gay.
But yeah, no, if you got kids, I'm sure you've seen an episode of Bluey, and if your kids aren't watching Bluey,
I can't believe Disney is censoring children's cartoons.
Yeah, with such heavy messages like that, but I feel like, especially with the way pregnancy has been politicized in America right now, especially with the way Bluey or pregnancy is being politicized in America right now, it's not surprising to me that Disney is kind of Disney is like, you know, playing cagey about it and being careful with the way 29%. Of all watch time on Disney Plus is Bluey.
29% of all watch time
on Disney Plus.
That is nuts.
29%. And each episode is like 7 minutes long.
Fucking millennial parents must be going on like road trips like crazy.
I can tell you that Bluey gets played like crazy in my house, not only because it's good, but also just because, you know, it's
you
good.
Have a 2-year-old.
Even if I didn't have a 2-year-old, I feel like this is one of those children's shows that could be watched by anybody, right?
Like Franklin?
It has the appeal, like, there are moments for older people and adults in the show. Like I said,
give me a comparison to something I would know.
I don't even know how to, like, it's kind of like how Adventure Time has those moments where you're like, whoa, that can't be for 13-year-olds.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I wouldn't imagine Adventure Time for a 2-year-old, you know?
Like I said, one of the characters on Bluey, it's the mom's sister, can't get pregnant, and, you know, her her nieces ask her, hey, how come we don't have any cousins? And she simply says, you know, for some people, it's just not meant to be, right? And it's like, that's wild for fucking kids cartoon, bro. I was watching an episode earlier where they, I think it's part of the new season that just dropped, where like they are thinking about moving because the dad is getting a new job and Bluey is old enough to sit in the front seat. And like, the show's just cute. I don't know how else to put it other than if you think you are like, if you think you are macho, watch a fucking episode of Bluey.
The way you're describing it, like the feeling of it almost reminds me of My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah, it is like, it does have very wholesome, it's wholesome. That's it. Like, it is like one of the most wholesome children's shows that I have ever seen while maintaining being like funny and still like and entertaining all at the same time. It balances it great. And the fact that it is absolutely dominant. I mean, because X-Men 97. Let's talk about X-Men 97.
To me, my X-Men.
Because X-Men 97 is a fucking masterpiece.
Absolutely.
And Bluey is like blowing that shit out of the water. So
I would love to know what the percentage of people watching for X-Men 97 is.
Right. I don't have those.
That is why I have Disney Plus right now.
Yeah. Well, you should take the time to watch an episode of Bluey while you still got it. But no. Yeah. Especially if you need a palate cleanser from what the fuck is happening on X-Men 97. It's a that's probably half the watch time, right? It's like people who watched fucking like X-Men 97 and were like on the
oh
like,
my god. How do I forget what just happened on Genosha?
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch an episode of Bluey afterwards. Shout out to you if you have to if you binge watch Bluey after the fucking Genosha episode. It's fucking crazy, man. Yeah, no, the two-parter leading up to the season finale here.
I just gotta say, what was the scene where somebody said something about a relationship and Scott and Jean were there and Jean just like glared the fuck at Scott?
Oh man. Oh, what was that, bro? Somebody, I feel like it was Cable talking about Madeline, right?
Right!
Yo,
And like, Jean is just glaring at Scott. And like, for the whole time, it's like, you weren't even fucking there!
Bro, can we... Spoiler alert. The ending of the second part, Magneto and Wolverine, dog? Magneto, that is the like... Magneto is there, right?
I'm predicting the end of episode 10 right now. Bone-clawed Wolverine through Magneto's heart.
We were literally just talking about how Wolverine hasn't gotten any spotlight, right? And they were like, well, guess who's not getting any spotlight?
Nope. End of next episode, I guarantee you. I'm gonna go with full Chuck. Guarantee!
Yo, I mean...
Wolverine, bone claws, stabs Magneto through the heart.
That's what I thought he did at the end of this last episode, right?
Yeah, and Magneto was like, fuck your Weapon X adamantium. Let's just take that.
Like, I don't even feel like being cute right now. I'm done with this. I'm done with this Logan. Like,
and that is an iconic moment in comics when Magneto did do that.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. After Genosha, right? Like, you can't get any more radicalized than that, right? And Charles trying to...
Charles!
So, you know, we have to talk about Scott's decision to stop Charles from doing what he was doing to save Jean.
Well, I think Charles is just kind of like, why the fuck would any of them listen to Charles?
Yeah, at this point, right? Because it was like, you know, we all thought you were dead.
Yeah, like, we all thought you were dead. You left us to deal with this shit. And now you're like, okay, let's be all fucking peaceful while two or three of us are dead.
So does this low-key work out in Scott's favor because he no longer has to deal with the love triangle between him, Jean, and Wolverine?
I still think the most hilarious thing about Marvel Comics is looking at the Summers Gray family tree and realizing in the normal, regular 616 Marvel universe, they have no fucking kids.
And with Wolverine and Deadpool getting ready to come out, right? Like, this is an extra heavy hit from X-Men 97 going in this direction. It just, man, the mess, right? Like, this is just the season of mess, it feels like. Because I did not think when we started this revival of the classic X-Men cartoon series that we would be going in such a heavy direction plot-wise. It makes the controversy in the beginning, the whole X-Men is gone, or X-Men has gone woke controversy, feel kind of poignant.
They always were.
Yeah, but let's be real. Let's
like
be
some
real.
Of the writing is definitely cranked up when they're just definitely. Like, who lets a terrorist be a world leader? Then why do you let world leaders be terrorists?
And I mean, like Magneto's whole radicalization after Genosha. I mean, fucking Genosha. While we've got Gaza going on, right? Like. That's crazy. There are lots of people, right, that could look at that as October 7th.
Magneto is Jewish.
We can say the X-Men have always been woke, but they literally took that and were like, oh no, we're going to do what Jack Kirby and Stan Lee wanted to do with the X-Men a long time ago. Right? Like, we're there. And let's not...
Rest in peace to Stan the Man.
Let's not pretend like we're not there. Right? And the last two episodes definitely solidified that to me, especially with the way the second half of the two-parter ended.
Let's just get this out of the way. Magneto, definitely an Omega-level mutant.
Always has been, right?
But anybody that had any doubt... Definitely an Omega level mutant.
I mean, literally the minute he was like, okay, like, fuck the whole.
He's like, I have my powers back? Okay.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done, buddy. Like, that was gruesome. I thought after World War II, I wouldn't go through no shit like that again. He's definitely like,
EMP'd the world.
Yeah, he's like trauma. He's triggered. Like, Magneto's mad triggered. Right now, rightfully so.
No surprise, a Holocaust survivor has PTSD. Go figure.
Yo.
Dude literally saw his parents die.
Bastion is a sick man.
Bastion is a preppy white guy.
This is not a children's cartoon.
No.
This is not... I mean...
There's not enough... honestly, there was more action in the original run. Yes, like, I feel like...
Because it was a Saturday morning cartoon. Yeah, like, I feel kids. Like... This is an Adult Swim show. This is literally... We are in Adult Swim territory with X-Men 97. And I'm here for it, honestly.
I mean, Invincible has carved out and shown that an adult superhero cartoon can be successful.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. I was gonna say, I feel like Watchmen really showed us that superheroes can deal with heavier concepts.
But animated.
But yeah, Invincible really proved that.
And I feel like the producers who were, like, planning X-Men 97 saw the episode of Invincible where Omni-Man was holding Invincible as the train was going through, and they were like, okay, yeah, we can crank it up a little.
Yeah, we're there.
Have you seen the ad for that? Like, it's not a pop figure, but it's like a different brand pop figure.
No.
Where it's Omni-Man holding Invincible.
Yeah, no,
like, through the... It's popped up on my newsfeed a bunch of times.
Yeah, no, we are at that level. The show is fucking fantastic. So much so that... rumor has it.
Rumor has it.
Marvel has decided to slow down their release rate.
I did hear this. It's no more than 2 movies a year and 3 series a year.
Yep. Which honestly feels like...
Still seems like a lot.
But it feels like the way it should have been. Right? Like, that's a lot that it could be enough if...
It's enough to keep 12 months of attention.
Yeah, and if the properties and the projects are given more love and the treatment that they deserve, it could be well-filled time. Whereas...
I mean, they've definitely botched some great comic book storylines. Like, Secret Invasion is a fantastic storyline in the comics.
And it could have really given, like, you know, some X-Files...
And I think the way that I didn't finish it, but from what I've heard, the ending doesn't have any major significance. It's not like Steve Rogers was a Skrull the whole time or anything. And I mean, the latest, the Blade movie, like we already said, they're just boiling it down to Mahershala Ali is going to be killing vampires.
And, you know, whereas that's not necessarily...
It's not a bad thing.
It could be a good thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It does feel like a shame, though, considering, you know, what Blade should mean to Marvel.
And the quality of actor that Mahershala Ali is.
Right? And considering...
He has one Oscar.
And he was also part of one of the foundational series that kind of gave Marvel this reinvigoration, right? Like,
it gave the series concept legitimacy.
Yeah, like, you know, you had Jessica Jones, yes, and we had Punisher, right? But I feel like when Luke Cage came in, that's really when people were like...
I think Luke Cage was the third series. Yeah, I think it was Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist.
And Punisher was in there somewhere too.
Punisher, I think, was the last to come out.
So, did you see Macklemore drop the protest song?
I did. I did hear about that. I did not hear the song, but I heard about the song. That's one way to get back into the public attention.
Heinz Hall. The song is named after a young Palestinian child who was killed by the Israeli military. Days after she
named
called...
Named Heinz?
Yeah.
H-E-I-N-Z?
H-I-N-D.
Oh, Hind.
Hind Rajab, a Palestinian child who was killed by the Israeli military days after she had called for emergency services... and was beginning to be rescued. She became a symbol for people protesting the Israeli-Hamas war after students occupying Columbia University's Hamilton Hall unfurled a banner over the hall's facade that said Heinz Hall. You know, hence the name of the song. YouTube is being accused of kind of like shadow banning the song, age restricting it, so that it doesn't reach as many people because the song features a lot of, you know, the music video for the song features a lot of protest imagery in what some would consider pro-Palestinian.
I'm gonna have a take here right now. It's bizarre. It might be bizarre to the older people that we live in an era where we can actually effectively question mainstream media.
So I feel like now is a good time, right? Because I don't think we've really talked about the college protest yet at like Columbia, and just all across the country, right? UCLA.
I can attest. I asked my professors.
I think Georgetown
and the dean. And on the protest that's getting more attention currently at UMBC is Title IX stuff.
But these pro-Palestinian protests are taking.
I have seen one of those at UMBC as well.
Yeah, they are making headlines for a reason, right? Essentially, what is going on is college students are calling for their administration to divest from any funding of Israeli sympathetic projects, right? While the Israeli-Hamas war is going on and Palestinians are effectively being genocided throughout.
What does Israeli sympathetic mean?
Projects that would see any funds going to
the IDF?
Not just the IDF, but anything related to Israel at this point, right? They don't want to, they want their colleges to divest from any partnerships that would see Israel receiving funding for anything. And
in the muck and the mire of this, I personally have been separating the country of Israel from Netanyahu's administration.
I feel like that is very I don't see color of you, simply because at the moment
I can also feel the like heated like the I can understand the like heat and fervor from Israelis, considering I remember post 9/11?
Yeah, but that is the same thing as us blaming all Arabs, though, right? Whereas what we have happening right now is, you know, kind of very reminiscent of 9/11, where the Israeli government is just going in and kind of, you know, taking it out on any Palestinian that they see running around.
I mean, I hear this whole thing and I'm thinking, wouldn't insurgency work? Like, insurgency stuff work the best?
So,
but, you know, they don't give a fuck about casualties, right?
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, Heinz Rajab was an insurgent. Right? Like, there is the argument here where
I'm talking Hamas generally operates as insurgents.
But that's the excuse that the IDF and Netanyahu are using to systematically wipe out Palestinian people.
And they banned Al Jazeera.
Because they know they are committing atrocities that would
And Al Jazeera has been one of the best outlets for this whole
genocide.
Thing.
Genocide. They are committing genocide of the Palestinian people and under the guise of getting rid of the Hamas problem. And the U.S. is kind of culpable in funding it at this point.
Jesus Christ, that karma from the Holocaust is going away real fast.
That's kind of where everybody is at, right? It is unfortunately emboldened some of the more skeevier types and, you know, promoting anti-Semitic propaganda and, you know, looking at them and going like, oh, well, look at Israel is doing to the Palestinian people. Like,
I am very good at separating Jewish people from the state of Israel.
Oh, it's good that you are, because lots of people aren't. And there are plenty of people out there right now who are looking at what Israel is doing and joining the right side of history for the
like,
wrong
reason. Look, I see Israel bombing Gaza. I'm not going to go torch Larry David's house.
Well, like I said, you are one of the few, because it seems like there is not a whole lot of middle ground in this conversation right now. So much so that the only university to reach some kind of compromise with the protesters is Brown out in Rhode Island, right? Brown University, and it's the protesters and administration have come to some kind of deal where they will be sitting down and discussing what divesting actually looks like in a reasonable manner. But as of the moment, Brown is the only university to kind of, you know, come to the table with its protesters whereas other universities have just gone full out. I mean, like, in Columbia in New York is just, like, full on beating protesters back, right? I don't remember if it was UCLA or if it was also Columbia that had, like, trained snipers on the fucking student protesters because apparently they are fearing outside agitators, right? Like, there's that narrative being pushed again, as, like, was being pushed during the George Floyd protest and things like that, that outside agitators are coming in and potentially making peaceful protests and nonviolent protests violent.
So, I'm thinking about this, like, the whole college campus thing. I just graduated, right? So, I'm thinking, like, if the cops were, like, shooting tear gas and shit, would I be the one that was standing there? And I'm honestly, to myself, I'm like, no. But I have this platform. And this is at least something I know. And that makes me respect the people that are out there even more.
Yeah, you know, being on the front lines of anything is not easy, whether it is, you know, the war in Gaza or it is the protest. And no, I'm not comparing being a soldier to being a protester. I'm just saying that fighting for a cause that you believe in enough to actually be on the front lines of it is not easy. These college kids are, most of them are not just out here for, I hate the narrative of performative social justice that's being pushed, right? Because by nature, a protest is performed.
Yeah.
Right? There does seem to be a lack of direction for a lot of these protests, right? I think, you know, it would be negligent to not acknowledge.
Have you ever had a bunch of 23-year-olds try to play in a kegger?
Especially in this day and age, right? Because like, there is also the comparison being drawn to the Vietnam protest, right? And I do think those kids back then probably had more of a sense of organization, but I do think that the ability for these new movements to reach an audience, though, it cannot be understated. I mean, social media is the greatest invention for movements like this since the megaphone, right? Or radio. It seems like that may be part of the reason why TikTok has been the center of attention, but we'll talk about that more. You know who's about to get cut? Christy Gnome. Christy Gnome, if she thought she had any chances at the VP nomination. I think even Trump has enough sense to know that when you are openly bragging about killing your dog.
I was about to say, the most bipartisan, I joked years ago that if somebody wants to win the presidency, all they have to do is run a campaign saying how great dogs are. This woman did the exact fucking opposite.
I joked on Threads. Follow me on Threads at Signature Doc. Listen, I thought it was very ironic that the Christy Gnome story went viral the same day Kendrick Lamar put Drake down, but that's just me.
She put her dog down, and then Top Dog's boy put Drake down.
Yo, Christy said, for all the dogs I've ever had, this one is the shittiest.
And the goat. Don't forget the goat.
And the goat.
She put in the gravel pit.
And
with the shotgun. It's a fucking game of Clue.
I just would like to tell Christy Gnome that it is no longer 1908. Your domesticated animals do not all have to be work related. That dog could have been a perfectly fine house dog. I guess not, right? Because her whole point was it wasn't listening to her. But there are people. There are people that specialize in the rehabilitative
of care. A 14-month-old puppy.
smack that nigga out of the paint. But it'd be this, it'd be them people that are like totally against abortion, right? Like, I guarantee you, if you ask Kristi Noem what her views on abortion would be, she's pro-life, ride or die, right? But she will take your dog and put it...
She will take your daughter!
She will take your dog out back and put it out...
In the gravel pit!
Memory, PETA style. Bananas. Bro, I love how... Especially because the Democratic Party is so dysfunctional right now. Like, Joe Biden can barely stay awake as it is, right? And the
Trump
Democratic
can't keep his
Party,
fucking mouth shut.
The,
so.
The Republican Party literally doesn't have to do anything but look like they can function properly.
And they can't
and
do that
they
either,
can't
though.
Even do that. They can't even do that. The fucking potential vice presidential nominee came out and was like,
I killed my dog
because it wasn't good hunting material. The fuck? Is that what they really, that's the demographic they're going for? The kind of people that would put a fucking puppy down because... It didn't bring the duck back.
We're not even to talk about the world leaders thing. This motherfucker shot a dog.
Yo, it is like Kristi Noem wanted you to know that she was so thuggin' and she was about that life, right? That she was like, yeah, I'll put a fucking dog down if it don't do work.
She's working on a screenplay for Young Yeller.
Yo, it is just another example that
None of this is normal. But what should be normal is buying all of your Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon Magic the Gathering, Flesh and Blood, board games, and card game supplies at TokenMTG.com and use the promo code Ziggy to get 10% off of your order. And what should also be normal is following us at the Flood Pod on everything, and that is on everything. And a special shout out to our patrons, Enraged Peacock and Cruisin' USA.
Also, did you know that Trump is the only president to not have a, or one of the only presidents in recent history to not have a presidential pet in the White House?
Yeah, it's because he's a dick.
Just more proof that none of this is normal. Bye.
Bye. Deuces.
Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
Could be a flower above on the sea, but you became
why?
The dark on the light side of me. But you became the flower on the dark side of me. Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become alive and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can see from a kid from the rose on the grave. All right, that can get cut out and put at the end of the episode, but that's great.
Listen.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.